Well, let's begin the festivities.
Okay. In the interest of time, I'd like to say hello to everybody, welcome you on. And if we could start with, I'm gonna put item one on hold for a moment, as I usually do, and go to some of the pro forma things that require votes. That being the case, if I can go to item two, approval of the meeting minutes of the March 17th SURF meeting, 2021. If the trustees have had the opportunity to review the minutes, and if so, what is their pleasure?
I move that we accept the minutes from the March meeting.
Motion's been made. Is there a second to the motion?
Mr. Chair, I'll second it. Mark Petrosimone.
Okay. Is there discussion on the motion? In the absence of a motion being properly made and second, all in favor indicate by saying aye with voice identification.
Kathy Graves, aye.
Mark Petrosimone, aye.
Susan Whetstone, aye.
Michael Gormley, aye.
Aye, Mike. There is no opposition, no abstentions. Motion carries. If I can go on to put item three on hold for a moment, go on to item four, age annuity retirement. These are rule of 80 and early retirement. They're information only. They do not require the consent or the deliberation by the trustees. Information only, unless there are questions on the item by any of the trustees. If not, we'll go on to item number five, contribution withdrawals. Again, information only, do not require trustee approval or deliberation. Unless there are questions on item number five by the trustees, I'd like to move on to item number six and item number seven. Again, information only. Item number six, death after retirement for pension recipients. Item number seven, death after retirement for the survivors of pension recipients. And that being the case, I'd like to call upon the trustees just to have a moment of observation for the repose of the souls of these individuals. Just as a note, Marie McNulty used to work in our office in the payroll and pension office up until about 22 years ago. And Bertha Mahoney worked in the tax office also. Thank you very much. Rest in peace. Item number eight, payment of bills. What's the board's pleasure on item number eight?
This is Kathy, so move.
So move. Is there a second on the motion?
I'll second it, Mark Petrosimone.
Thank you, Mark. Is there discussion on the motion? In the absence of a motion been properly made and second, all in favor indicate by saying aye through voice recognition.
Kathy Graves, aye.
Mark Petrosimone, aye.
Susan Whetstone, aye.
Michael Gormley, aye.
Thank you. No abstentions and no objections. The motion carries. Liana, Carolyn Cohn is supposed to be here, right?
Sorry, I'm on mute. Yes, Carolyn is present.
Oh, she's present?
It says Carolyn's iPhone. Carolyn, you are muted though. Maybe she's having trouble with her.
I'm having all kinds of trouble.
Oh, there you are. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi, everybody.
The age of technology.
Yes, so it's the annual meeting, so you have to elect item A, the chairperson, and item B, the vice chairperson. So you need to take nominations and hold an election.
All right, well, on item A, I think we'll start with item A, and then if we could have nominations for the election of the chairperson.
This is Kathy Graves. I'd like to nominate Jerry Segnella. as chair.
Any other nominations? If not, can we have a voice vote on the nomination?
This is Kathy Graves. I vote yes.
Mark Petra Simone, yes.
Susan Whetstone, yes.
Michael Gormley, yes.
Thank you. Carolyn, just as a side note, I think this issue might have come up before. I'm trying to remember the definitive answer on it, but I thought in the past it was determined that the chairperson does not have to vote on issues that require a vote unless there's a tie on that vote. Is that
true? That's not what our bylaws provide. Our bylaws provide that all members of the board have to vote on all.
Well, that's good, because if I haven't been doing that, because I think I've been functioning under the old premise, but
right.
I will make sure, because I see the bylaws are on here for discussion.
Right.
They're pretty new. We just established those recently. So I think from now on, I'll be official and make sure that as a chairperson, I'm also involved in on the vote that's taken on any issues that come up.
Yes.
Thank you. Item B, election of the vice person, vice chairperson. Can I have a nomination on that?
Mr. Chair, this is Mark Petra Simone. It's my honor to nominate Kathy Graves as vice chair.
Very good. I don't think we need a second on that, because we're going to take a voice vote on it. Can I hear a voice vote on the recommendation that Trustee Kathy Graves be continue as the vice chairperson of the board? As chairperson, right, I will officially say I endorse that and I accept that.
Susan Whetstone, yes.
Mark Petra Simone votes yes.
Michael Gormley, yes.
Thank you all.
You're welcome, Kathy. Wise choice. Now, item C, annual review of the SURF policies, the investment policy, bylaws, code of conduct. I'm going to turn this over to our legal counsel.
Right. So your bylaws provide that every year you're supposed to look at these policies. All of them are fairly new, so you may not want to make any changes. I don't, you know, you need to decide whether or not you want to make any changes.
I'd like to move that we accept the policies as presented, because they are all relatively new and we spent a substantial amount of time reviewing each of these documents. So I'd like to move that we accept all the policies as they stand.
Motion is made. Is there a second?
Susan Whetstone, second.
Is there discussion on this motion? In the absence of a motion and properly made and second, all in favor indicate aye by voice recognition.
Kathy Graves, aye.
Mark Petra Simone, aye.
Susan Whetstone, aye.
Michael Gormley, aye.
Jerry Sagnella, aye.
Mr. Chair, I have a question. Are we supposed to sign this and return it to Leanna? The end of the at least the investment grade policy has something that says signature.
It's the bylaws.
Carolyn, does that require a signature, or are the minutes of the meeting sufficient?
I think they're sufficient. Okay. I think the signature was just to make sure that everybody had received the documents, and I think when they were originally promulgated, we had everybody sign the code of conduct and the bylaws. I'm not sure the bylaws. I'm looking. Is there a signature?
Bylaws have the signature page on it.
Right. So maybe only the Whetstone, because everybody else probably has signed it when it was adopted. So perhaps just Trustee Whetstone. Send Charlie, it back to Anna.
I don't recall signing it.
I don't remember signing it. I was on when that.
Oh, this is the consent to delivery of notices. So maybe it would be. I think that's a really good point. Why don't we just make sure have everybody sign that consent?
So it's the bylaws only have to be signed.
I'm looking at that on page 12, right? And what you're page signing 12. Is the consent to delivery of notice. Of special meetings by electronic means, by any other means. So that's on page 12. So that'd be great if everybody could sign it and email it back to Leanna. Thank you for pointing that out.
Carolyn, should you just sign this? Some of these things are a little lengthy. So just sign the signature page.
Yes, it's on page. It's a consent to delivery of notices by electronic means, which will become important once the governor's orders expire. So that it's on page 12.
Right, but all they have to do is sign the signature page and have that sent back to you.
To Leanna.
Leon, I'm sorry. Yes. Okay, fine.
Thank you again.
All right. If we can, again, get out to the agenda and go to item 8. Item 9. We did pay the bills, correct?
Yes.
Okay, item 9, old business. Is there any old business that should be examined here? If not, we'll go on to item 10, new business. Any new business that should be brought before the board? All right, if not, then I think we can resume back to item 1, investment report, and turn it over to our financial consultants.
Thank you. Good morning.
Morning.
If you could go to the performance report. So these numbers are going to look, I want to say once in a decade, just because it's the one-year number of since the fallout of COVID markets, you know, so if you look at the one-year number, you see numbers on every asset class that are astounding. So if you could just scroll down to the next couple pages, we'll start with the SURF fund. Excuse me. Right there, you can see the fund is at $206,500,000, roughly. A lot of the alternatives have not priced for the quarter, so these numbers are skewed a bit. Once we have next month, we should have the alternative investments adding some extra return to the fund. So these numbers are muted a bit. So they will come in higher more than likely rather than lower. So that's a good thing. So these are worst case scenario at the moment. You can see 1 month the fund is up just under 2%, 3 months for the quarter, 3%. Fiscal year to date, 18.45. So that's obviously from July 1 till present day to March 31st. So off to a great start for the fiscal year. The one-year number is 32%, two-year numbers. So this is 2 years annualized, 13.6. And 3 years annualized is 10.27. So that's 10.27% per year over the last 3 years. So you can see that that's, well above our target returns. Just some notable mentions. I want to, as you can see, Russell 1000 growth, we terminated ClearBridge, so a lot of that underperformance is from the ClearBridge manager. We are now in the index fund, so we should be more in line with the index moving forward. Cook and Buehler, they were on watch, just so the trustees remember, they were on watch probably about 6 months ago. They really stepped up their game, and they're doing quite well. You can see Cook and Buehler, 11.5 for the quarter. Fiscal year, 46.47 versus 36, so that's 1,000%. Better than 1,000 basis points, rather than 1,000%. 1,000 basis points better than their passive benchmark. And for the 1 year, they're up 69%. So again, very, very strong numbers. So we took them off watch, I think, a month or two ago. So they're back and in good position and good standing with the fund. So that's great. Russell, the Vanguard Large Cap Value Index, you can see is in line with the benchmark, 36.87 fiscal year to date, just under 56%, and 13.76 for 2 years. Mid cap, those are just placeholders. There's some residual monies in there from some notes that matured and some reallocation. Dip down to small cap. Our timing was impeccable with increasing our exposure. We originally had a $5 million, basically a placeholder, a full length there. When we first hired them, they had about $10 million, and then we trimmed their position during the COVID, actually right before COVID, to $5 million. And we started to increase them over the last several months. You can see that's done well. They're up to just under $23 million, 15 and a quarter for the 3 month, and 59.10 for the fiscal year. 109, almost 110% for the 1 year. So that's a double. That's a double on your money. So that's great. And then 26% per year for 2 years. WCM International Equities, even though domestically we're reopening our economy here, Europe and some other countries are lagging a bit, but WCM has done a nice job of finding some outperformance. You can see fiscal year to date, they're up 28% versus 26. The 1 year, they're up 60% versus 44.5. 2 years, they're up 27 versus 11. And 3 years, they're up just under 20% versus 6. And since 2015, since inception, they're up 15% per year versus 5.3. So that's a triple of their benchmark. So they continue to be a stellar manager. Very pleased with hiring WCM. Next page, please. So we have equity blended index. That's one of those indexes that we put together. It's 5% for the year, fiscal year to date up 24 and 48 for the 1 year. Fixed income is starting to dip a bit. You know, last year we had a very, very strong fixed income year. We had, a 10% return with our fixed income. We talk about the 10-year bouncing around. If anybody who's watching any of the financial media, you hear a lot about the 10-year. 10-year has been drifting from 1.5 to 1.75. It's back down to 1.5 again. But when rates go up, bond values go down. There's an inverse relationship there. So as you can see, bonds have been taking it on the chin a bit. But you need to have them in there for your portfolio. They are the ballast through rough turmoils in the markets. Typically, there's a flock to safety and fixed income. Our fixed income allocation is on the lower side, so just because of the interest rate environment. But as you can see, there was a little bit of a loss there for the quarter and year to date. Extrapolated out fiscal year to date and 1 year. So the rolling 1 year, you can see they're up. Our domestic fixed income's up 9%, which is like a stock return, very, very strong for 1 year. And our international fixed income is up 18.5%. So you can see we still did benefit from having bonds in the portfolio long term over the 1 year. So those are solid numbers. And again, I'm not going to spend much, if any, time on alternatives because they're not priced yet. We should have that in the next report for the first quarter of 2021 alternatives. So I could just scroll through down to cash, and that's basically it for the performance report. I don't know if anybody has any questions.
Mr. Chair, I have a question.
Sure.
I know that the city of New Haven is in the midst of their budget presentations to the Board of Aldermen. The New Haven Independent generally will write stories, or write articles, I should say, regarding last night's meeting, blah, 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 blah. And I always see, I think Michael could attest to this, there was a presentation recently made with the Department of Finance numbers. And the numbers that are spoken about during the meetings are significantly different from these numbers here as far as performance, return. You have 1 year 32, 2 year 13.58, 3 years 10.27. I think I recall in the article I was reading that they were quoting, I don't know if they were quoting our actuary or actuaries' numbers, but they didn't have one return that was greater than 7.5 for any of those 3 years. And, you know, I always read these articles and I often confuse myself. Why do we have those numbers and then these numbers here? What's the difference?
Was that question for me, Mark?
Well, anyone that could help me out to understand it.
I'm sure Mike is.
Yeah, maybe you could, like, are your, I always thought that your numbers were after management fees.
They are. The difference is, I think, you know, Michael could probably speak more in line with this, but I think they use those actuarial reports that are run every 2 years.
Yeah.
So I think the last time they did a study, I don't know if the most recent study is available. And they use asset smoothing, they use actuarial assumptions, they use liability numbers. So, you know, I don't know where the variance is. You know, Michael could speak better at that. I don't know what report you're speaking of either. I didn't see what the Board of Alders presented. So I don't know if Michael has any insight on that.
I think it's exactly what you just said, Derek. I think we use the actuarial 2-year valuation when we're looking at the budgeted numbers for the pension. So I think as these numbers change or the final numbers, they're usually slightly a little different. And I think they're also, when we do our audit, they're slightly different because of the actuarial methods that they use as well, right? As far as the return and everything.
All right, so it's basically the way the numbers are looked at. Like the actuary, I understand they smooth it over so many years and stuff like that. It's a 30-year smoothing technique that they use, which would probably lower the percentage of return.
Well, can I add one thing? Hi, it's Dave. One thing, when you look at a report that they send out, there's a market value of the assets and an actuarial value of the assets. So the market value is what we're talking about. The actuarial value in the reports is the smooth value. So it takes out some of the highs and some of the lows, which will mute some of those numbers to the upside and the downside. So they might be different than the market value returns.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I wish they would indicate that in the article. Sometimes when I read the articles, I want to take my computer and throw it out the window because this committee works so hard with these numbers, you know, with our investment with you, Derek, and all that. And then you read these articles and it's like our performance is so ugly. You know, our performance is horrible. And it's like, no, it's not. Our performance is great. And I think, I don't know, for some reason, I think the general, most of the general public doesn't see these numbers, the market value numbers.
I think you're right, Mark. And moreover, I think the, I don't know when the last study was done, but I think it's excluding the last 12 months, which, as you can see, you know, we're at 70, 80, 90% returns. That certainly skews things to the upside. And just from my tenure with SURF, it's been, you know, we're back to pre-2008 crisis levels on the fund. I mean, the last time this fund was over $200 million was 2007. So you're talking, you know, 14 years later, you know, obviously a lot of work from the city on their budget side, a lot of work from this committee's work and a lot of help from the markets. This fund has successfully done what it's supposed to do. It's grown a bit and paid out benefits over the last, you know, 14 years. So, you know, you could paint the picture a lot of ways. You know, when there's financial engineering, when you're looking at numbers, you can look, change start dates. You can do a lot of things to, you know, indicate, you know, to get a story that you want to pitch ultimately. But at the end of the day, 14 years later, this fund is as much money, if not more money, that it had in 2007. And it's paid 14 years of benefit payments to all the retirees. So I think that in and of itself, this committee and the city and everybody should feel pretty good about what they're doing here.
Okay, thank you for that.
And Jerry, can you figure out, or somebody figure out, how much we paid out in benefits over that 14 years? Is there
That's pretty simple, Mario. But you know, on average, I've seen it go up quite a bit. I mean, it would take some time, but it started out about $1.5 million a month. It's now up to about $5.5 million a month, $5.3 million a month. So it's increased quite a bit.
So over 14 years, if you average that out,
it's a big number.
I think somebody should write an article saying how well we've done on a positive note. Maybe the mayor might want to do that.
Well, I think that I could speak to Rich Sitch, the actuary, and see if there's any way in a sort of a simplified manner he can assist in coming up with the figure you're looking for, Mario. Again, understanding that, you know, sometimes when you ask them for these things, depending on the amount of work it requires on their part, there may be an administrative cost to that. But I will I think it's a valid question. And for the next meeting, I'll get back to you with an answer on what it would take to get that information.
It's almost like when these newspaper articles come out, there should be an asterisk that basically denotes how the numbers are arrived at. So people can understand.
Yeah, no, you're right. You make a valid point, and Trustee Zangari makes a valid point. And I will, by the next meeting, have a response as to what it would take to get that information on what the accrued benefits have been since 2008 forward to date. Is that right, Mario?
Yes, I think the point is that the mayors should, our mayors over the last decade have been very active in this for the pensions and the performance. And I think they don't get the credit they should be getting, or we should be getting, whatever, that we've held the value of over 200 million and we've paid out all of this money. And you know, that's not done by making up stories. It's real money.
Well, again, I will notify Rich Sitch, who's our primary actuary representative, and ask him if he can give us some information on what the cost would be, if there's a cost to that. He may be able to do it very simply. Anything else?
Thank you.
Derek, anything else on the report side?
No, thank you. So if there are no other questions, I would just give you a brief synopsis. I'll keep this. I know how much everybody loves to talk about finance at 8 o'clock on a Wednesday morning. So I will, on a sunny day, nonetheless. Right. Well, I'll talk briefly because there's not a lot that's changed since last month. So, Leanna, if you could just hit the SURF April talk. Slide. Perfect. So this just shows some of the indices. Now, this is through tax day, or what used to be tax day, April 15th. I think we're at, May 17th this year, which buys us all a little time. But nonetheless, through April 15th, so this didn't account for the last few days that we've seen a little bit of turmoil in the equity markets. But ultimately, the overall theme on all fronts is that the markets are strong. The breadth of the recovery in the financial sectors is doing very, very well. The majority of every company that's reporting earnings, you know, so we're in earnings season here, first quarter earnings seasons, the majority of all the companies that are reporting are beating their estimates. So that's all very, very good for these stocks. You're also coupling earnings beats with a very strong stimulus, economic stimulus, as well as a very accommodative Fed policy. So you put all those three things together, and it's no surprise that the equity markets are doing very, very well. We think they're going to continue to do well. We do think there is a little bit of a pause happening here, a short-lived pullback in the equity markets. We don't anticipate anything astronomical happening. You know, typically a pullback is, you know, 5-6%. Correction is 10%. We don't see a correction per se coming, but a breather is healthy. So I'll just scroll through. That just talks about the markets overall. You can see what's interesting now is, I don't know if you folks remember maybe 5 months ago or 6 months ago, that upper right-hand box where it said S&P 500, that return was significantly higher than the S&P equal weight. And that was when we used to talk about the FANG stocks, the large cap growth names that were doing very, very well. They were outperforming. So that's what's, you know, it's the S&P 500 is market cap weighted. So the biggest market capitalization companies had the most weighting in the S&P 500. Those are the big, the Googles, the Amazons, Facebooks, and Apples in the world. Those companies were outperforming. And the S&P equal weight was, you know, not market capitalization, just equal weight to all the different companies. That was underperforming. And you can see that reversal. So that's good. That's actually a healthy sign in the market. What we're saying is that there's participation from all sectors now. So if you remember also around that same time, energy was negative, and it was a big negative year to date. And you can see energy, financials, industrials, all the sectors that were, you know, bottom of the barrel are, have now participated and caught up. So that's looked at in various ways. That's looked at as a robust expansion in the equity markets. It's looked at as healthy, and it's mean reversion. There's a lot of things you can call it, but we just see that as a very, very strong posture for the market. So we're happy with what we're seeing. Like we said, we have, you know, historic low interest rates. Even though that 10-year is bouncing around, we wouldn't be surprised if over the summer the 10-year goes back up close to 2 or over 2%. Which would be a little bit of a stranglehold on the equity markets for you know, a short period of time. But ultimately, we have low rates, accommodative Fed. We have people going back to work. Economies are opening. If you turn to the next page, Leanna, please. This just talks about shutdowns and jobs. You know, our jobs, we're still well below our jobs number, but that's, people are getting back to work. You can look at that bottom of that bottom paragraph. 3 million Americans are being vaccinated every day. So that vaccine is rolling out. So we really do, you know, barring any unforeseen issues, you know, hopefully everything continues to go well. We see an economy that's in a reopening phase, which is very, very strong and very, very positive for our economy and for our markets. You know, we just want to keep an eye on inflation. Inflation did peak up a bit, but the Fed hasn't changed its tone, so that's good as we go back towards full employment. Next page, please. There's not much more I'm going to say here. I'm just going to highlight. I'm going to skip this one right here. So from a technical standpoint, we look at things fundamentally: earnings per share, PEs, and things of that nature. Also, from a technical level, the top is the S&P 500. The green and blue and red lines are moving averages, and you can see that we are in a breakout from the moving average. It's typical to see that come in a bit, but we don't think we're going to break any resistance or any support levels. We've broken through resistance. We don't think you're going to see any drastic, you know, pullback in markets. We'll see some healthy recover pause, but ultimately we think we're going to continue to trend higher. So again, a good sign, a good indicator. Next page, please. Small caps. So I talked a little bit about small caps. They've taken a little breather as well, as you can see in our report. But again, it's a healthy breather. They've gone straight up since we've added to them. We've made a whole bunch of money in our small caps, but we think that they will continue to do well. They're going to benefit the most from the reopenings. Just from the where they fall on the capitalization scale, so as they you know, pull back a little bit, our firm is recommending accumulating more small caps. So firms like ours across the nation are increasing their exposure to small caps. We're already there, so we're ahead of the curve, and I think our small cap will continue to benefit from the, you know, rest of the world adding to small caps. So that's a good sign as well. Next page. Uh, Financials, just, you know, that's one of the things we look at, the financial sector. We don't need to spend a lot of time here, but those are the large cap value stocks. So we're seeing a lot of those companies, you know, coming in and beating earnings. A lot of the banks are as well, financial stocks. So that's healthy for the market. I don't need to spend a lot of time here. Next page, please. So we talked a lot about growth and value. There was, like I just said a few minutes ago, there was a huge outperformance from large cap growth versus large cap value. There has been a rotation to value. Growth started to lag a bit. However, this last little run that we had over the last month, growth has outperformed, but value is also performing. So now we're in tandem. So we think we're in a barbell approach where you want to have growth and value in the portfolio. Where we are, SURF is right-sized with growth and value. We have a little bit of a large cap value bias now, which is still a good posture to be in. We were growth, very, very growthy. We shifted to value and reduced our growth a bit, but we still do have a nice equal balanced approach, which is what we think is going to continue to do well. So the story was once growth, 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 then it shifted to value, 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 and now it's, you know, let's be balanced. And that's kind of where we are and where we have been over the last several months. So again, we think we're in a good spot. With that said, I don't have any more information to give unless anybody has any questions, comments, concerns. One thing I did want to mention is I was in talks with one of our private real estate firms, Basis. So we hired Basis about, I think it was in 2019, we hired Basis. I don't know if you folks remember, those of you who were here, Basis was a real estate fund that basically utilized debt. So basically what they did is they lent to real estate holdings, and they have a very diversified real estate portfolio. We were in fund one. Their target internal rates of return were 13 to 15%. They're coming in at 18.5%. So they're doing very, very well. They're very, very diversified within their fund of what they do. They are raising a fund two, and every one of their public clients that is in fund one, like yourselves, has also agreed to enter fund two. So they asked if they could make a presentation to you at the next meeting. Their numbers are very, very good. I do like the segment of the real estate market that they're in. I know a lot of people might say, well, real estate doesn't sound great right now, but it actually is. The sector that they're in and the things that they're doing are very, very good and very strong. So we endorse them. They are a diversified manager. They're doing very, very good things, very innovative, and we're very pleased with where they are. So and they're beating their bogey, their expected returns. So I would like, at the very least, if I may ask of the trustees, to entertain having them come in and present to you their fund two. And then obviously we could have a dialogue about it after they're done presenting. So is that okay with you all?
Yeah, I think as trustees, we have to look at anything that could benefit the fund. So, I mean, there's no way we can say no to that, especially if it's endorsed by our scholarly financial consultants.
And they're outperforming their target returns.
Yeah,
yes, they've done a very, very good job.
All right, so you could coordinate that, Derek, as far as you and Leon, as far as setting up with the contact people there.
Okay, we'll do. Meeting. Sounds good. Okay. And I'll try to keep it, 20, 25 minutes just to, you know, to benefit everybody, to keep it, tight.
Derek, is that I'm trying to remember, there was a company that came in, a firm that came in, that was doing a certain amount of investment in New Haven properties?
That was not them. I think that that might have been actually. Yeah, that might have been them, Jerry. Yes, I think you're right.
Because they had the College Street apartment.
College. Yeah, you're right.
Yes. Ring a bell.
Yep. You're right, Jerry.
That'd be another incentive. I mean, we have to look at the whole spectrum as to, you know, why things look good to us.
Oh yeah, and to add more positive to them, they're female owned, African American owned. And they're doing ESG investments, so they're kicking butt, quite honestly. So I'm really happy with their performance.
At the best of all worlds.
Yeah, so I'm pleased to have them come back. So
We will do it. Okay. Anything else?
No, that's it for me. I don't know if anybody else has any questions.
Thank you very much for the presentation.
Thank you.
Now we're at a point in time where if I can entertain, unless there's anything else that the board would like to discuss, but that would have been under new business. So we've already voted on that. That being the case, can I have entertain a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Kathy, so moved.
Is there a second?
Mark Petrosimone, second.
Motion has been made. All in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Kathy Graves, aye.
Mario Zangari, aye.
Mark Petrosimone, aye.
Susan Whetstone, aye.
Michael Gormley, aye.
Jerry Sagnell, aye. I like doing that. It makes me feel like I'm participating more. All right, thank you very much, and we will see you at the next meeting. Stay safe in the meantime.
You too. Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye-bye.